Well, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you had a great lunch and happy Feast of Tabernacles. I'm getting ahead of myself. Happy Feast of Trumpets. You know, before God created man in his own image, the earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. How did it get that way? Well, that's another story. But everything that God created was planned and is perfect and has a reason. God is a God of purpose. Every blade of grass, every tree, every animal that he has created has been designed for a specific reason, a purpose. One of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I love this scripture. Okay, let's read it. It's Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The New International Version reads, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now pay attention to the next part. Verse 11, "So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent it." Did you get that? Purpose. When we look at the vastness of the universe, the earth is just an insignificant little dot among the billions of galaxies and stars. Yet it contains life. It is so well designed that other planets lack the arrangements necessary to produce life. And what is amazing to me is that this teeny, itty-bitty little speck in the incalculability of the universe will someday be God's footstool. Heaven on earth. Can you imagine that? It's hard to imagine. God gives us five. He only gives us five senses, which we depend on them to comprehend reality. You know, and these senses do not allow us to comprehend what God was telling Nicodemus. "I have told you earthly things, and you don't believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" You know, we can only understand what is physical. Jesus told Nicodemus, "What is flesh is flesh. What is spirit is spirit." Now remember when my little girl, my daughter was just a tiny kid. She couldn't speak yet, but she was crawling on the carpet and she was very, very upset. And she was dragging her little tongue on the carpet. And we were concerned, what's wrong with you? And then we found a chili pepper with a bite on it. She learned, go ahead and pinch yourself. Go ahead, pinch yourself a little bit. Everybody, just pinch yourself. Did you feel that? That means that we are flesh. What God is preparing for those who love him is spiritual. "Eye that has not seen, neither heard, nor entered into our hearts what he has prepared for those who love him." In the first chapter of Genesis, we can clearly see how God prepared a suitable place for his future family to be. You know, in the first day, on the first day it was dark, it was formless and void. Then God introduced light. That's great. Then on the second day, water is mentioned. You need water to generate life. And on the third day, we see trees and vegetation. We see life. Let's pause here for a minute and meditate on the thoughtfulness of God. Like a loving parent who is about to bring a child to his world before he's born, he prepares his room with all the necessary furniture and decorations to welcome his offspring into the world. Now in your mind, I want you to picture and look at the beautiful landscapes, the trees, the flowers that God created for his children. On the fourth day, something extraordinary and very interesting happened. God mentions time. God mentions time. In Genesis 1, verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day from the night, and let them bring forth signs and seasons and for days and years. I want you to notice how God here mentions time. He divides the day from the night. Then he introduces seasons, which we know that seasons bring forth different fruits during the year. To me, this is interesting because God has separated the earth from other planets because time is different in outer space. In the deep space, there are no day and night cycles or seasons to mark the passage of time. Have you noticed how throughout the Bible, time plays a precise purpose of countless things, like the death and burial of Jesus Christ and his holy days? They're all sensitive to time. They were all done for timing, precise time. Just think that to God, 1,000 years is like a day to him. Maybe Mr. Segley can someday elaborate on the subject of time. He's the scientist. On the fifth day, God mentions all kinds of sea life. Oh, I love the sea. I love to go fishing. And I'm going to be going fishing during the feast. I know. I'm going to do that. Then came the sixth day, which is my favorite scripture. God created man after his image, after his kind, male and female. God blessed them and commanded them to be fruitful and replenish the earth. He gave them dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, on everything living and every living thing that moves on the earth. He gave man every herb bearing seed and every tree bearing fruit, every beast and fowl and every creature that crawls upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life. God gave men the earth to be in charge of it and subdue it. Plants, trees, animals, just think of it. He did that just for us to enjoy, to survive, to learn to be responsible, and to build character so that we can get ready for the next phase of life, which is eternal life in God's family. Today is Wednesday. Why are we here? Most church-going people have no idea what we're doing here today. It's not Sunday. It's not Saturday. But if they knew, they could care less, because they would label this day as Jewish. But let's go back to Genesis 1:14, where God is introducing time and seasons. We can read it again. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Here you know that the word seasons in the Greek, it means modem, which means sacred times or festivals. In other Bible translations, like the New International Version, it reads to mark sacred times. Traditional Christianity would be surprised that today is a special Sabbath, a commanded assembly for all of his people, not just for the Jews. All of God's holy days are annual Sabbaths and do not necessarily fall on the seventh day of the week. A good example of this is in John 19, verse 31. It says that for that Sabbath day was a high day. All high days are considered to be Sabbaths. All God's holy days are good, and they reveal the plan of salvation that he has for men, for man. You know, just like Mr. Segley said earlier, they're a shadow of the good things to come. They give us rest from the cares of this world. which is being captive by the God of this world. It is the good news of his soon coming kingdom. The weekly and annual Sabbaths point towards Jesus' reign here on earth. You would think that most church-going people would be happy to embrace these truths. Jesus kept them, his disciples kept them, and after Christ ascended to heaven, to the Father, Paul and the church continued to help to keep them. They have a purpose. Sadly, traditional Christianity will argue instead of embracing them, they reject them to keep their traditions. I've seen people get upset over these Sabbath days. They just don't want them. Jesus would react the same way as he did with the Pharisees. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God. You hold your traditions of men. You know, Satan has a purpose too. He's got, as we are getting ready to keep the Feast of God, Feast of Tabernacles, he's got his agenda as well. He is introducing to the world Halloween at this time. That's his purpose. But the good news of the kingdom of God is what Jesus and his disciples preached. That is why we're here. The Feast of Trumpets is the announcement, a forewarning, an alert to get ready to meet our Savior. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. How do we get ready for that? Well, on the next holy day that we will keep, it will be atonement. We atone for our sins by fasting and asking God to accept the fast and cleansing us from our sins. Then we will be ready to meet him at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a great celebration for all Christians that should be keeping, because it's the soon coming kingdom. And all of us will celebrate it in the future. That's why they should be keeping it as well. Never forget that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I'll go to my last scripture here. Let's turn to Zechariah 14. I'm going to read it. And Mr. Moore talked to us about it, so I'm going to read it again. It reads, Zechariah 14, verse 16. Then all survivors from the nation that come against Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 17, and should any of families on the earth not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, then the rain will not fall on them. Verse 18, and the people of Egypt will not go up to enter in, then the rain will not fall on them. This will be the plague which the Lord strikes that all nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be a punishment of Egypt and all nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. See how many times he mentions Feast of Tabernacles? Brethren, are you ready to go and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? I am. Have a great day, and I hope that I could see some of you at the Feast of Tabernacles.